Hello and welcome to Redefine, your home for news about parental school choice and education reform.
All right, welcome to another podcast interview with the Redefine blog. My guest today is Eric Lewis, who is the director of the Louisiana chapter of BAO, the Black Alliance for Educational Options. The group has been a key player in all that's happening in Louisiana right now. So, Eric, thanks so much for speaking with me today.
I'm glad to be with you.
All right. Well, I'm a few hundred miles away, but I'm keeping up with all the newspaper clippings, and it sounds like Louisiana is almost in the middle of an education revolution right now. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. These are very exciting times in Louisiana. Since January 17th of this year, it was announced that the governor and the legislature would be looking at some very historic reforms with regards to public education in Louisiana.
Right.
Last week.
So last week, the House passed a bill that creates a statewide voucher program, and then this week, the House passed a bill that creates a statewide tax rebate scholarship program, which for listeners, in case they don't know what that is, it's kind of like the tax credit scholarship program we have in Florida. And then on top of all that, you got some teacher tenure reform and other far-reaching policy. So what's it like to be in the middle of all that?
Again, like I said, it's exciting. And I guess, you know, if we dig just a little bit deeper, the bill that passed to expand the voucher program, which actually currently exists in New Orleans and has been in place for about 4 years, goes much broader than that. I know a lot of the publicity and a lot of the talk in the media has been about the scholarship program, but it also expands the number of charter school authorizers. It creates a parent trigger, creates the opportunity for kids to attend more virtual schools. And so that bill in and of itself does a great number of things for school choice. And then, as you mentioned, the teacher tenure reform. There's also some legislation that just passed a couple days ago, place term limits on school board members. And it's an intense fight, but I think at the end of the day, understanding this is about putting kids first, it's been very rewarding as well.
Mm-hmm. Give our listeners your take on how big a change all this stuff is, especially with regards to school choice and parental choice. I think you used the word historic a second ago. I mean, is it that big a deal? How I knew this is a softball question, but how big a deal is all this?
Well, again, like I said, we have a pilot. Well, people have announced this should start terming as a pilot program, but it's been in place for 4 years in New Orleans as far as the private school scholarship program. Post Hurricane Katrina, there were a number of charter schools, I want to say upwards of 70 charter schools that began to operate, and they took over traditional public schools in New Orleans. That activity had been in place for the last 4 years or longer, since Hurricane Katrina. But the reality is that we have upwards of 600,000 kids attending public school in Louisiana, and 44%, we have a letter grade system that was implemented last year, and so 44% of those schools that these children are attending are either DRF schools. And, while we've made some excellent strides, if we look at, comparing kids in Florida, I guess, to kids in Louisiana, while Florida is we're making strides, Florida is making insurmountable strides. And so when I say historic, I mean, I think that, it's imperative that we do something as quickly as possible for our kids. And so this is going to greatly change the landscape of education in Louisiana throughout the state.
Okay. I think that sums it up pretty good. Can you just real quickly, because I don't want to get, too bogged down in all the wonky kind of details, but can you just briefly tell our listeners about some of the nuts and bolts of the voucher program? Who's eligible and how much is the voucher worth?
It's a means-tested voucher program. And so children who, first of all, the income requirements are 250% of the federal poverty guidelines, which, for a family of four, we're looking at about $57,000 in income. And it's modeled after the existing program in New Orleans. The children will have to be currently attending a public school that has a letter grade of C, D, or an F, and the priority is being placed on D and F schools. And so those are the two basic requirements for participating in the program. So it's income and, you know, you have to be currently attending a failing public school.
Okay, and in terms of the value of the voucher, what's the value?
Well, we have in Louisiana what's called the MFP, or the Minimum Foundation Program, which is actually the mechanism for funding public schools in Louisiana. And so the way the legislation is written is the voucher would be at whatever the state currently funds for a public school child in their community. It'd be at that amount, or the school, private school tuition, whichever is less. And that amount varies, you know, from different parts of the state. So as an example, if that number that the state pays is $10,000 in Baton Rouge, let's say, and the tuition for a private school that a child selects is $5,000, then the voucher would be for that $5,000 amount.
Okay, I gotcha. Eric, one of the arguments that I heard in or saw in the media coverage was this argument about there not being enough open private school seats to accommodate the expected demand. Can you briefly speak to that? I mean, is there anything to that issue?
Well, if we go back to the numbers, again, you know, somewhere up to 600,000 kids are in public schools based on the eligibility requirements. You probably have over 300 kids that would be eligible. There's not been a survey done, an official survey done yet of private schools, but we don't anticipate 300,000 kids are going to be fleeing the public school district to go into private schools. And again, without an effective and proper survey done, but nobody believes that there's 300,000 seats available. And so that has been one of the arguments. You know, when we look at other states, when they first launch a program as massive as this, I mean, what we anticipate is anywhere between 2,000 to 4,000 kids that would be coming into the program. They're already 1,800 in New Orleans alone. And so, yeah, that's one of the arguments people put out there. But I think the reality is that in many parts of the state, this option will just be one new option that many kids have never had the opportunity to exercise. And so it is about creating new opportunities. And again, as I mentioned, there are, you know, some other components that will create new opportunities as well for kids, such as charter school expansion, virtual schools, and this parent trigger.
Okay. Now, if I understand it right, the accountability provisions for the voucher program are not settled yet. And if I understand it right, the bill is leaving that up to the State Education Department and the State Board of Education to figure out a little bit down the road. So without, you know, again, without going into too much wonky detail, what would BAO like to see in terms of accountability for the program?
Well, and that's the interesting piece. That was probably the biggest controversy as we're going through this process, both from those in opposition to parental choice or school choice, and even amongst many that are completely supportive of it. BAO's position has been that, you know, we want parents to be able to exercise choice, and we want to empower them to do so, but we also want to make certain that while we're fighting to pull kids out of failing public schools, we're not putting them in a situation where they're entering subpar private schools or whatever the name on the building is. And so we're excited that the Department of Education and the Board of Secondary and Elementary Education is going to take that piece up. Because we believe that's a proper venue for it.
Okay. Well, so for instance, do you want to see testing for the voucher students?
Well, the kids actually do take the test, the standard state test now that the public schools take, and so that will continue. I think what we will want to see is that the department and the Board of Elementary and Secondary Education set up some process where, if at some point in time or after some given period of time, you know, schools are not able to show growth with the kids, then some measure needs to be put in place to recompense that, and that whether that be that, you know, these private schools, there's a moratorium on a particular school taking kids in, some type of mechanism to help them improve it. And so, again, you know, leaving that up to the department to decide the best mechanism for that, but that there needs to be some type of threshold where, you know, it's clear that it's not working with a particular school, and so kids shouldn't continue to matriculate within that school.
So you do feel like there should be some kind of state regulation or requirement or provision that deals with schools that aren't showing growth? It shouldn't be completely left up to the parents and the market. There, at some point, there is a line where the state needs to step in and do something.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, I want to switch gears just a little bit and ask you about what I personally think is a pretty important issue, and that has to do with the bipartisan support for the legislation in Louisiana and elsewhere. I mean, as you know better than me, the narrative so often is that expanding school choice is a Republican conservative thing, and yet for the bill that included vouchers in Louisiana, you did have 12 Democrats support the bill, including 6 African American Democrats. So, you know, how significant is that this bill was able to pick up some Democratic votes? What does that mean?
Well, I think part of it is that, again, when you look at the numbers that I stated earlier, with 44% of our schools failing, and they're not just in urban areas. I mean, they're spread out throughout the state. I think more and more people are understanding that, you know, there's a sense of urgency about doing something for our kids and making sure, because they have to compete on a global level, and so there is a growing sense of urgency about reforming education in Louisiana. And if you look at the Democrats, again, that supported this, you know, some are in urban areas, some are in rural areas. But they understand that if we're unable to educate our kids, then as a state, we can't compete. And then, you know, taking it down to their local community, it provides, you know, even within the state, an inability for their local communities to be able to compete across the state. And so I think that's where we are. I think for the folks that voted in support of this, it's not really a political issue. It's a matter of doing what's in the best interest of children, and we applaud them for taking that stand, even though we know that they've received some incredible heat for it, and they will continue to receive some incredible heat.
Well, that leads right perfectly into my next question, which was, you know, how much pressure they were under, and, you know, in the aftermath of the vote, I saw that one of the blogs, and I guess it's a fairly widely read blog in Louisiana, listed the 12 Democrats who voted yes, and it called them Jindal Democrats. And then I want to read something for the blog. It said they were motivated. Those Democrats were motivated by, and here's the quote: politics, money, reelection, selfishness, fear, general spinelessness, end quote. So, you know, is that an indication of how much pressure was on Democrats to vote no?
Well, I would say yes, but I think it's just ironic because you could take that same argument from the other side for the Republicans and or Democrats that didn't support it. You know, so there are special interests. And I think won some of those folks over that didn't vote for it. And, you know, you could make that same argument on that side. You know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, all sorts of tactics have been used. I mean, you mentioned that when, you know, you can go through Facebook and, you know, people were the night of the vote or the next morning after the vote, people were making direct attacks on Facebook pages for some of the legislators. As early as, you know, late January, some of the special interest groups started sending out flyers attacking legislators because they said they supported it. Mm-hmm. They hadn't even cast a vote yet. A bill hadn't even been filed. But just the indication that they were going to be supporting these reforms.
Was that pressure and that heat and that targeting, was it especially intense for Democrats? I mean, again, you know, the narrative so much is that this is a Republican thing. School choice, vouchers, tax credit scholarships, that's a Republican thing. So does that was that kind of, you know, scrutiny? Was that applied even more to Democrats?
Yeah, probably more, because I think, you know, if we look at how things align, you know, with political support, the groups that would tend to lean democratically or support Democratic candidates were the ones that obviously were in opposition to this. And so it was, I mean, it was intense, and I again, I just sincerely applaud all 12 of them for standing up for kids and, you know, standing up for what they felt was right and doing what they felt was in the best interest of children. I think too often, and this is nationally, but I think too often the battle, I mean, while people have said that they're looking out for the best interest of children, you know, we saw last week and the previous weeks leading up to this vote that it was about adult issues. It was about, you know, protecting jobs. And, you know, I can understand, you know, that argument when we talk about tenure reform. But when we're talking about, you know, kids getting an opportunity to go to a different school, you know, I find it suspect when we disguise this and say it's about kids, when the reality is that if kids are leaving your school, then that puts your job in jeopardy. And so those are the types of things that these legislators were faced with. And again, I just applaud them for standing up for it. When you think about it, and if you look at it, it's like this in most states. I think a lot of the pressure of the people that, you know, had to fight the hardest, you know, in many instances were people that, you know, in some cases, rural areas where, you know, the school system or state or, you know, local government is the largest employer. And so when we talk about just the scare or this fear of teachers losing jobs, then that hits the local economy. And so it was a big fight for them to stand up for this in several instances.
Okay. Eric, on that note, I you've been very patient with me. Is there anything else you want to add? Anything else people should know about what's going on in Louisiana?
Well, and I want people to make sure that they're aware. It's not, I mean, we are actually like only in week 4 of the legislative session, and that's how serious this is. I mean, you know, these bills hit at the beginning, and we actually still have to go through the Senate on each of them. You know, we're hopeful, and we believe that we'll be successful there as well, but the fight will still continue. And then, you know, we just, after the bills are signed into law, you know, our focus as an organization is making sure that the kids that will benefit from this program are fully aware, and their parents are fully aware of it, because, you know, my concern is making sure that with all the negative publicity and all the politicking that's going on, the people that need this the most don't miss out on it because of so much of the misinformation that is being put out there.
Right, so making sure that they know this option is out there and it's a good one, that's going to be pretty key in the future.
Yes, sir. Yes, okay. Sir. And so we'll, as soon as the session is over, we will begin that process as a state of making sure that, you know, the kids and the parents that need this the most are fully aware of it.
All right. Well, Eric, thanks so much. We know you have to get back into the fray over there in Louisiana, so thanks a lot. I'm really grateful that you could spend some time with us today.
Appreciate it, sir.
All right. Take care.